This audio edition of The Future of Humanity is an original work by Charles Henry Thomas. All rights are reserved. No part of this recording may be reproduced, stored, or transmitted in any form without prior written permission from the author. The Future of Humanity. How a restless species stands on the edge of its most extraordinary era yet. 1. Introduction. Standing at the edge of the human story. Humanity has always been a bit dramatic. We've survived ice ages, plagues, empires, and the invention of the group chat. But the moment we're living through now feels different, not because the world is ending, it isn't, but because, for the first time, we're beginning to realize that the future, now, isn't something that happens to us. It's something we're actively shaping, whether we're ready for that responsibility or not. We've reached a strange crossroads. On one side, we have the familiar world, messy, noisy, occasionally ridiculous, but understandable. On the other side is a future filled with technologies, ideas, and possibilities that would make our ancestors drop their spears and ask for a quick tutorial. This article isn't about predicting the future. Predictions age badly. This is about understanding the forces that are shaping us, and the choices we'll have to make as a species that suddenly finds itself holding the steering wheel of its own evolution. So let's take a walk into the future together. No pressure, no doom, just curiosity, perspective, and the occasional raised eyebrow. 2. From survival to self-creation. The long arc of humanity. If you zoom out far enough, the human story looks like a three-act play written by someone who kept changing genres halfway through. Act one was pure survival. We were basically clever mammals with good posture trying not to get eaten. Fire was a miracle. A sharp rock was cutting-edge technology. And if you lived long enough to complain about your joints, you were considered a legend. Act two was mastery. We figured out how to plant things instead of chasing them, which led to villages, cities, kings, taxes, and the first recorded instance of someone saying, "This wasn't in the brochure." We built pyramids, invented writing, and started asking big questions like, "Why are we here?" and "Who keeps stealing my grain?" Act 3, the one we're still in, is transformation. Steam engines, electricity, antibiotics, rockets, computers, the internet. It's been a wild couple of centuries. We went from horse-drawn carts to landing on the moon in the time it takes a redwood tree to grow a decent beard. And now, without much fanfare, we're stepping into Act 4, self-creation. We're not just shaping our world anymore, we're shaping ourselves. Biology is becoming editable. Intelligence is becoming shareable. Identity is becoming fluid. Evolution is no longer a slow, blind process. It's a design project. Humanity has always reinvented its tools. Now the tools are beginning to reinvent us. 3. The Great Transition. From scarcity to abundance. If you want to understand the future, don't start with the shiny gadgets. Start with the quiet shift happening underneath them. The shift from a world built on scarcity to a world stumbling, blinking, and occasionally tripping its way into abundance. For most of human history, scarcity was the invisible puppeteer pulling every string. Food was scarce, so we built farms. Energy was scarce, so we chopped down forests, dug up coal, and eventually split atoms. Knowledge was scarce, so we guarded it behind temples, universities, and institutions that required the right birth, the right gender, or the right handshake. Scarcity shaped our politics too. When there isn't enough to go around, you get hierarchies, borders, competition, and the occasional empire that insists it's expanding for the good of everyone, which is usually a sign that someone's about to lose their land. But abundance changes the script, and humanity is right in the middle of that rewrite. Energy is drifting toward abundance, slowly, unevenly, and with plenty of arguments about where to put the solar panels. Knowledge has already exploded into abundance. The entire sum of human understanding now fits in your pocket, right next to the app you use to order pizza at midnight. Automation is creeping into every industry, quietly taking over tasks that once required human hands, human backs, or human patience. And this creates a strange psychological moment. When survival is no longer the main plot line, the story doesn't end. It just gets complicated. People start asking questions our ancestors never had time for. What am I supposed to do with my life? What matters when everything is available? Who am I if I'm not defined by struggle? Abundance doesn't automatically create happiness. It creates possibility, and possibility can be overwhelming. We're like a species that has spent thousands of years climbing a mountain, only to reach the top and discover that the view is breathtaking, but also reveals a dozen more mountains we didn't know existed. And here's the twist. Abundance doesn't eliminate conflict. It just changes the battlefield. Instead of fighting over resources, we fight over meaning. Instead of competing for survival, we compete for identity. Instead of scarcity of food, we have scarcity of attention. Instead of scarcity of knowledge, we have scarcity of truth. The transition to abundance is not just economic. It's emotional. It's cultural. It's existential. And humanity is still figuring out how to live in a world where the old rules no longer apply and the new rules haven't been written yet. 4. The future of governance, rebuilding trust in an age of complexity. Let's be honest, if there's one topic guaranteed to make people sigh, roll their eyes, or suddenly remember they left the oven on, it's politics. But the future of humanity can't be told without talking about how we organize ourselves, because the systems we built centuries ago are now creaking under the weight of a world they were never designed to handle. Democracy was a brilliant invention for its time. It worked beautifully when the fastest way to spread misinformation was a guy on a horse yelling the wrong thing in the town square. Today, misinformation travels at the speed of light, wrapped in a meme, amplified by algorithms that don't care whether something is true, only whether it gets clicks. And trust? Well, trust has taken a bit of a holiday. People trust their institutions less, trust their leaders less, and sometimes trust their neighbor's cat more than the news. We're living in a world where two people can watch the same event and walk away with completely different realities. It's not that truth has disappeared, it's just outnumbered. But here's the hopeful part. Humanity has been reinventing governance for thousands of years. We've gone from tribal councils to monarchies to republics to democracies to whatever it is we're doing now. Reinvention is in our DNA. The future of governance won't be about choosing sides. It will be about choosing systems that can handle complexity. Systems that are transparent, participatory, resilient, and maybe even a little bit smarter than the ones we have now. Systems that help us cooperate on the things that actually matter, like keeping the planet habitable and making sure the next generation has something to look forward to besides student debt and existential dread. And yes, we may even see the rise of planetary politics. Not a world government, nobody wants that, but a world conversation. A recognition that some problems don't care about borders, flags, or which team you cheer for. Problems like climate, pandemics, AI safety, and the small matter of not blowing ourselves up. Governance is changing, not because we want it to, but because it has to. and if we get it right, the future might just surprise us in the best possible way. 5. The human mind in transition. Consciousness, identity, and meaning. If there's one thing humanity has always been fascinated by, it's our own minds. We've spent centuries poking at them, studying them, arguing about them, and occasionally blaming them for decisions that, in hindsight, were probably not our finest moments. But the mind we're carrying into the future is not the same mind our ancestors used to chase mammoths or invent the wheel. It's changing, rapidly, dramatically, and sometimes without asking our permission. For most of history, the human mind was shaped by the world around it. You learned from your parents, your tribe, your village, and whatever stories were told around the fire. Your identity was a fairly stable thing. You were who you were, where you were, doing what your people did. Life was simple, if occasionally terrifying. Then came literacy, printing presses, libraries, and eventually the internet, which is like giving the human mind a fire hose of information and saying, "Good luck, try not to drown." We are now connected to more ideas, more people, and more noise than any brain in history was designed to handle. And yet, somehow, we're adapting. The modern mind is a hybrid creature, part biological, part digital, part overwhelmed, part exhilarated. We carry our memories in our heads and in our phones. We outsource navigation to satellites, spelling to autocorrect, and social validation to tiny hearts on a screen. We are becoming beings who think across multiple layers, personal, technological, and collective, often all at once. And identity? Well, identity has become a choose-your-own-adventure novel. People reinvent themselves online, offline, and sometimes mid-sentence. You can be a gamer, a gardener, a philosopher, and a conspiracy debunker all before lunch. The boundaries that once defined us, geography, class, culture, even gender, are becoming more fluid, more flexible, more open to interpretation. This isn't chaos, it's evolution. But the biggest shift isn't in how we think, it's in what we think with. We're building machines that don't just calculate, they reason, learn, adapt, and occasionally surprise us in ways that make us wonder if we should be leaving the lights on at night. Artificial intelligence is no longer a tool we use. It's becoming a partner in thought, a collaborator in creativity, and in some cases, a mirror that reflects our own minds back at us. This raises questions that philosophers have been waiting centuries to ask. What counts as a mind? What counts as a person? What happens when intelligence is no longer uniquely human? We may soon share the world with synthetic minds, entities that think differently, learn differently, and experience reality in ways we can't fully imagine. And instead of panicking, which is a very human response, we might consider the possibility that this is the next chapter in the story of consciousness. Because consciousness has never been static. It has always expanded from individuals to tribes, from tribes to nations, from nations to humanity as a whole. The next expansion may include beings who aren't biological at all, and that doesn't diminish us. It challenges us to grow. But beneath all the technology, all the identity shifts, all the cognitive upgrades, there's a quieter question humming in the background. The same question humans have asked since the first time someone looked up at the stars and wondered why they felt so small. What does it mean to be human? In the future, the answer may not be found in our biology, our intelligence, or even our consciousness. It may be found in our capacity for meaning, our ability to care, to imagine, to create, to laugh, to love, to tell stories and to find purpose in a universe that doesn't hand out instruction manuals. The human mind is not disappearing. It's evolving. And the future will belong to those who learn not just to think harder, but to think deeper, wider, and with a sense of wonder that no machine can replicate. 6. The planetary era. Humanity as a steward of Earth. There comes a moment in every teenager's life when they look around their room, notice the growing pile of laundry, the half-eaten sandwich under the bed, and the mysterious smell that refuses to identify itself, and think, maybe, just maybe, I should clean this up. Humanity is having that moment right now, except the room is an entire planet, and the sandwich is climate change. For most of our history, we treated Earth like a rental car. Drive it hard, don't worry about the scratches, and assume someone else will deal with the mess later. But eventually we realized there is no someone else. There's just us, the slightly bewildered caretakers of a world that has been remarkably patient with our experiments in civilization. The truth is, Earth doesn't need saving. Earth has survived asteroid impacts, supervolcanoes, and continents playing bumper cars. What needs saving, or at least a gentle nudge in the right direction, is the version of Earth that supports us. The forests we breathe from, the oceans that feed us, the climate that keeps our cities from becoming beachfront property in the worst possible way. We're entering what can only be called the planetary era, a time when humanity finally understands that our future isn't just tied to the planet, it's braided into it. Every decision we make, from energy to agriculture to the way we build our cities, ripples outward into the biosphere like a stone tossed into a pond. And here's the surprising part. We're actually getting better at this. Slowly, unevenly, and with plenty of arguments about whose fault everything is, we're learning how to live with the planet instead of on top of it. Renewable energy is rising. Forests are being restored. Cities are rethinking how they grow. Even corporations, those great lumbering beasts of the industrial age, are starting to realize that sustainability isn't just good PR. It's good survival. But stewardship isn't just about technology. It's about mindset. It's about shifting from what can we take to what can we protect. It's about recognizing that the planet isn't a resource, it's a relationship. And, like any relationship, it thrives on attention, respect, and the occasional apology for past behavior. We're also discovering that the planet is more interconnected than we ever imagined. A butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil, and somewhere in Europe, a weather system says, "Fine, I'll rearrange myself." A factory in one country affects the air in another. A forest fire on one continent changes sunsets on the next. We're living in a global ecosystem, whether we like it or not. And that means the future of humanity requires something we've never been particularly good at. Cooperation. Not the hold hands and sing songs kind, though that wouldn't hurt, but the practical, grown-up kind. The kind where nations realize that climate, oceans, and atmosphere don't carry passports. The planetary era asks us to grow up as a species, to think long-term, to act collectively, to remember that we're temporary guests on a very old, very beautiful world. And if we get this right, if we learn to live as stewards instead of consumers, the future won't just be sustainable, it will be extraordinary. A world where technology and nature aren't enemies, but partners. A world where cities breathe, oceans heal, and humanity finally understands that caring for the planet is just another way of caring for ourselves. Because in the end, the Earth doesn't belong to us. We belong to it. And the future will be written by those who remember that simple truth. 7. The cosmic horizon. Humanity beyond Earth. If there's one thing humans have always been good at, it's looking up. Long before we built cities, before we invented writing, before we figured out that washing your hands was a good idea, we were staring at the night sky, wondering what all those tiny lights were doing up there. The stars were our first teachers, our first mysteries, and our first reminder that the universe is a lot bigger than whatever argument we were having around the fire. Fast forward to today, and not much has changed, except now we have telescopes, rockets, space stations, and billionaires treating orbit like the world's most expensive amusement park ride. But beneath the spectacle, something deeper is happening. Humanity is beginning to stretch its limbs beyond the cradle of Earth. And like any toddler learning to walk, we're wobbling, bumping into things, and occasionally falling on our faces. But we're moving. And that matters. The cosmic horizon isn't just about Mars missions or lunar bases or the dream of one day sipping coffee in a rotating space habitat while pretending to understand orbital mechanics. It's about perspective. It's about realizing that Earth is not the whole story, it's just the opening chapter. When astronauts talk about the overview effect, they describe a shift in consciousness that happens when you see Earth from space. Borders disappear. Politics seem small. The planet looks fragile, beautiful, and astonishingly unified. It's the kind of view that makes you wonder why we spend so much time arguing about things that won't matter in 100 years, let alone 1,000. As we move into the future, space won't just be a destination. It will be a teacher, a mirror, a challenge, a reminder that we are part of something vast and ancient and full of possibilities we haven't even begun to imagine. And yes, we will go. Not because it's easy, not because it's profitable, and certainly not because we've solved all our problems down here. We haven't, and we won't anytime soon. We will go because exploration is what humans do. It's the itch we can't scratch, the question we can't ignore, the instinct that has carried us from caves to continents to the edge of the solar system. But the real question isn't where we'll go. It's who we'll be when we get there. Will we bring our old divisions with us, our conflicts, our prejudices, our habit of drawing lines in the sand and then arguing about who crossed them? Or will the vastness of space finally teach us humility? Will it remind us that we are one species on one planet, orbiting one star in a galaxy filled with hundreds of billions of others? And then there's the big question. The one that has haunted philosophers, scientists, and anyone who has ever stared at the night sky long enough to feel small. Are we alone? If we are, then we carry a responsibility unlike anything else in the universe, the responsibility to keep the flame of consciousness alive, to explore, to learn, to grow, to become the storytellers of the cosmos. And if we're not alone, well, that's a different kind of adventure, one that will require wisdom, patience, and maybe a universal translator that doesn't glitch at the worst possible moment. Either way, the cosmic horizon is calling. And humanity, curious, restless, occasionally reckless humanity, has never been good at ignoring a mystery. The future won't just be written on Earth. It will be written among the stars. 8. Conclusion, the choice before us. If you've made it this far, congratulations, you've just taken a guided stroll through the past, present, and possible futures of an entire species. Not bad for a morning's reading. Humanity has always been a complicated creature. Equal parts, brilliance and blunder, curiosity and chaos, compassion and confusion. And yet somehow we keep moving forward. The future of humanity isn't a straight line. It's more like a winding river, sometimes calm, sometimes turbulent, occasionally overflowing its banks and making everyone wonder who thought settling here was a good idea. But rivers have a way of finding their path, carving new channels, and eventually reaching the sea. We stand at one of those bends in the river now, a moment where the choices we make, individually, collectively, globally, will ripple outward for generations. Not because we're special, but because we're the first humans in history to hold this much power over our own destiny. Our tools are sharper, our reach is wider, and our impact is deeper than anything our ancestors could have imagined. And that means something simple but profound. The future is no longer something that happens to us. It's something we shape. We can choose fear and build walls, hoard resources, and cling to the past as if it were a life raft. Or we can choose courage and step into the unknown with curiosity, creativity, and a willingness to grow. We can choose division and let our differences define us. Or we can choose connection and recognize that we are one species sharing one world, riding one fragile blue marble through a universe that doesn't hand out spare planets. We can choose stagnation and pretend the old ways will somehow work in a new world. Or we can choose imagination and build systems, technologies, and cultures that reflect the best of who we are, not the worst of what we fear. The future of humanity won't be written by the loudest voices or the strongest fists. It will be written by the people who dare to imagine something better and then roll up their sleeves and make it real. People who understand that progress isn't a straight line, but a long conversation between what we've been and what we hope to become. And here's the quiet truth beneath it all. Humanity has always been at its best when it remembers its heart. When we choose empathy over apathy, when we choose curiosity over certainty, when we choose to build instead of break, when we choose to laugh, to learn, to love, and to keep going, even when the path is unclear. The future isn't a destination waiting for us at the end of the road. It's a responsibility we carry with every step. And if we walk it with wisdom, humility, humor, and a little bit of courage, then the future of humanity won't just be bright, it will be extraordinary. Because in the end, the story of humanity has never been about what we have. It has always been about who we choose to become. Author's Notes. This article completes the first 16-part cycle of the Knowledge Hub, a journey that began with ancient mysteries and ended with the future of our species. It wasn't planned as a grand arc, but looking back, the pieces fit together like chapters in a much larger story. If there's a thread running through all 16 articles, it's this. Humanity is far more capable, curious, and resilient than we often give ourselves credit for. We've stumbled, struggled, and occasionally made a spectacular mess of things, but we've also created beauty, knowledge, compassion, and meaning in a universe that didn't require any of those things. This 12th article isn't a conclusion. It's a beginning, a foundation for the next cycle of ideas, questions, and explorations. The future is wide open, and the story of humanity is still being written. And if we're lucky, we'll write it with wisdom, humor, and a little bit of heart.